Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, February 21st, 2021. Section A. Vaccines continue this week. Ratliff immunizations begin Wednesday for first shots. Bad weather disrupted Medical Center Hospital's COVID vaccine clinic last week, but higher temperatures have arrived and clinics are planned this week for first doses of the Pfizer vaccine. The event planned at Ratliff Stadium for today, Sunday, has been canceled because vaccine shipments did not arrive as scheduled, MCH President and CEO Russell Tippin announced recently. The event had to be canceled because vaccine shipments were delayed due to hazardous weather conditions throughout Texas this past week. The new vaccination dates will be 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Wednesday and 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Thursday and February 28th. These dates are only for those who need the first shot and not for those seeking the second shot or booster. After February 28th, the vaccines will most likely be administered at local clinics, although those details are still being finalized, Tippin said. MCH earlier this week announced it was canceling all booster shot appointments at urgent care clinics because expected vaccine shipments did not arrive last week, also due to the weather. To those of you who spent 200, 300 times calling our hotline to make an appointment, we're very sorry, Tippin said. We know we've put you through a lot. Instead of trying to reschedule thousands of already scheduled appointments, MCH officials decided to offer mass Pfizer booster vaccination events 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. March 2nd through 5th at Ratliff Stadium. No appointments are necessary, but attendees should bring their card indicating they have already received their first shot, MCHS Chief Nursing Officer Kristen Abbott-Timmons said. Those who do not have proof that they have received the initial vaccine will not be served. The MCH phone hotline to schedule a booster shot was disconnected Wednesday. Tippin said he is grateful to the Ector County Independent School District and the City of Odessa for allowing the hospital to hold the March mass booster event at the stadium. Originally, MCH only had permission to use the stadium through February. Residents who receive their first vaccination shots at Ratliff Stadium next week and after will receive the second booster shots through Odessa Regional Medical Center, a partnership both hospitals announced Thursday. ORMC will begin administering the booster shots during the first week of March, ORMC Chief Medical Officer Dr. Rohith Saravanan said. Saravanan said the hospital will use a portal system that will automatically contact people by email to let them know when and where they should go to receive their second shot. Pandemic spurred Saravanan to action. New Doctor helped organize community stakeholders by Bob Campbell. Dr. Rohith Saravanan was an Odessa newcomer when the COVID-19 pandemic began creeping in, and he saw the need for leadership. The 39-year-old chief medical officer at Odessa Regional Medical Center formed a community stakeholders group of 20 and helped generate a coordinated response. Now they've put an app on their COVID in the Basin website where citizens may check on testing, vaccines, treatments, and other matters. We needed to respond in a unified fashion, but each entity was responding on its own, Saravanan said. There was no coordination. So last March or April, I called a meeting of people from the schools, the college and university, business leaders, the hospitals, the county, and the city. I gave them specific information that they found a lot of value in, and we had a unified front. The app is updated weekly by Saravanan, his wife, Dr. Sarah Amiri, and Venu Yankarla of Keystone IT Solutions. Saravanan is a native of Nagercoil in South India, who earned degrees at McMaster University in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, where his parents have settled, and St. George's University Medical School in Grenada, before doing research in facial and cranial surgery at Columbia University and clinical training at three hospitals in New York City. He is a family practice physician. He worked for 10 years in Buffalo, New York, and in May 2019 became chief medical officer at ORMC and Scenic Mountain Medical Center in Big Spring. He also has an executive MBA degree from the State University of New York at Buffalo. Saravanan and his wife, who is an internist and pediatric medicine specialist, have two children. His father was an accountant and his mom a teacher. His sister, Arthi, is a breast radiologist in Austin. "Medicine is a big passion of my mother's," he said. "She grew up in a household where all four of her brothers were in medical school, and she wanted to help her kids pursue medicine. My overall goal has always been to make a positive change in communities and to make sure hospitals are fully prepared with hospitalizations, intensive care units, and ventilators. Second, I want to educate the community on how to prevent the spread and keep ourselves safe and healthy with good information and good leadership. I love to teach, lead, and achieve things together as a team," Saravanan said. "Those are the things that keep you going from day to day." He said, "Times have changed in that patients are called on to take part in their care rather than just being told what to do by their doctors. It has become more of a partnership," Saravanan said. "It won't last forever if a person receiving counsel from their physician doesn't understand or buy what he is telling them. If they understand and follow through, then you have made a change for life. It's very important to have that buy-in so patients have ownership and are engaged with their doctors. There is so much more to life than taking medicines. The Saravanans hike, bike, swim, and travel widely, and in the past few years, they've made a series of charitable medical trips to Ghana and Sierra Leone. Their pleasure travels have been to India, Iran, the Caribbean, and around the United States from Florida to Hawaii. They've hiked in the Hill Country, the Monahans Sand Hills, Carlsbad Caverns, White Sands National Monument in New Mexico, and in the Fort Davis area. I enjoy studying cultures," Saravanan said. "I worked at a refugees clinic in Buffalo and met Burmese, Somalis, Nepalis, Iraqis, and Afghanis. It was good to realize what they had gone through and the struggles they'd had. We hike in the mountains and explore rivers and waterfalls, and we want to visit Oregon, Washington, Idaho, California, Utah, and Colorado. Another of the doctor's enthusiasms is a variety of foods, particularly spicy ones, although he has yet to develop a taste for hot sauce. I'm a huge foodie," he said. "My favorite thing is a bazaar with recipes from different parts of the world like Africa, Asia, Australia, and Canada. I like a lot of different flavors in my mouth." Enjoying the Permian Basin's warmer climate, Saravanan has been interested to learn about ranching, West Texas slang like y'all and fixin' to, and Texas barbecue. "We're happy here," he said. "We have always put down roots. The only challenging thing for us in this community is a lack of diversity in thought processes. I'd like to expose people to more things and give them a chance to experience what we have experienced." ORMC President Stacy Brown said Saravanan is a great leader and a greater physician. "I cannot imagine having gone through this pandemic without him on our team because he has been an incredible resource, not only for both hospitals, but also for our community leaders," Brown said. "He does a good job of putting things in terms that lay people can understand. In an environment that was changing day by day and sometimes minute by minute, Rohith stood out as someone who was knowledgeable and trustworthy. He is not too busy to help anyone, and he quickly rose to the top of our community." Brown said Saravanan is just a really good man from professional and personal standpoints. He cares about people, and his life's mission is to make the world a better place, she said. He and Sarah spend their own money to go on mission trips to other countries. Brown said Saravanan is a good leader because he listens to make sure he understands the situation at hand, and then he questions things. He is data-driven, Brown said. He looks for the facts. A stakeholder who joined Saravanan's group was ECISD Superintendent Scott Murray. Rohith is highly intelligent and knowledgeable in his field, Murray said. He develops a lot of trust, and he won our confidence. He is a man of character and wisdom who makes compassionate decisions that are clearly in the best interest of families. His level of concern for our community made him a leader, and he rose to the occasion. His impact was significant. He is a man of integrity and great character who is so passionate about his work because he truly cares about people and their well-being. Noting that he has gotten to know Saravanan personally, Murray said, "We still talk about what we're doing as a school system, and we listen closely to our medical community, including Dr. Timothy Benton, regional chairman and associate dean for clinical affairs at the Texas Tech Health Sciences Center," he said. "Those two voices have been predominant. While the pandemic has kept most of us apart, it has also brought us together." Pawn Shop Shifts to Ammo Store by Royal McGregor. When the pawn shop and ammunition store opened at Windhorn Services LLC 4 months ago, the plan was to purchase unwanted equipment during the coronavirus. That plan changed quickly. Instead of focusing on items to put in the pawn shop, Justin Huckabee said ammunition sales keep foot traffic coming in the door. "I would have never thought that it has taken off like it did," Huckabee said. "We thought the pawn was going to be a lot better. The pandemic and the ammo shortage happened." The ammunition store is located at 5329 Andrews Highway. Huckabee said there is a high demand for ammunition, but little supply. That demand increased after the January 6th Capitol riots. In the 30 minutes the Odessa American was at the ammunition store, there were around a dozen people who walked in. "We are having to buy 90% of this third party, so we are paying a premium as well," Huckabee said. "Just like people who are ordering it off the internet as well, we are having to pay that same premium, but are cutting out the middleman. They are able to get it here for a couple dollars more." Ammunition prices can fluctuate, and Huckabee said if they are able to get a good deal, that they will be passed on to their consumers. Huckabee said that they had 2 weeks back-to-back when the Sandhills Stock Show and Rodeo was in town, which was followed by the Silver Spurs Gun and Blade Show. "The rodeo did a number on us," Huckabee said. "There was a gun and blade show the next week following, so all of our prices went straight up after that. We definitely had to order from the internet then." Though they don't have anything for sale in their pawn shop, Huckabee explained there are certain items they would accept, but it has to be worth their time. He said those items would include vintage guns, but people are holding on to those items. "Our main focus was to do guns and equipment," Huckabee said. "We are staying away from the everyday pawn because there are seven other pawn stores down the street." OPD Releases Phone App by Royal McGregor. For the last several months, the Odessa Police Department has been working on an additional tool that can be used by local law enforcement. The OPD application went live recently and can be downloaded by Apple and Android users. OPD spokesperson Corporal Steve Lesser said one of the most important features the phone application will use is push notifications. Those will include alerts from the National Weather Service, city notifications, content updates, and recruiting. "It's very important to communicate effectively to the public," Lesser said. "It helps us get messages out right away. This gives them another avenue to use." The OPD app also has a tab for its social media channels, which include Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. The social media tab has news releases from Fatal Collisions, Odessa Animal Control, and the Bustin' for Badges clay shoot. There's also a tab that people can see OPD's Most Wanted, COVID-19 information, and numbers for all major law enforcement offices. People can also request open records and pay a traffic ticket. Lesur said there is a tab on the app where people can submit a tip to law enforcement, but a person would still have to call or come into the department to file a report. A person can also file a report online through the Citizens Online Police Report System. A lot of bigger cities have their own app, Lesur said. It's great. In addition to the website and social media that we already have, it's another effective tool. Virtual Town Hall Meeting. The Alpine Downtown Association, in cooperation with the West Texas Friends of the Night Sky, will host a virtual town hall meeting regarding the development of the Greater Big Bend Dark Sky Reserve. The meeting is scheduled for 5:30 p.m. Monday to be broadcast live on Zoom. Subject matter experts Bill Wren and Stephen Hummel with the McDonald Observatory, as well as Annie Gilliland with Big Bend National Park, will present. Topics of discussion will include the Dark Sky Reserve and its benefits for Alpine's economy. Continued education and awareness in the community will enable outdoor lighting requirements to be met and sky quality to improve. McDonald Observatory is preparing an application to the International Dark Sky Association, IDA, to establish the world's largest International Dark Sky Reserve in the Greater Big Bend of West Texas, Wren said. This Alpine Downtown Association virtual town hall meeting will present the scope of the reserve, the IDA criteria to be met, and benefits to regional communities. Dark skies in the area are important to the observatory because light pollution affects how their scientists can view distant objects in the cosmos. But they also have many economic and quality of life advantages to communities in the area. The city currently is revising its dark skies ordinance to include technical changes that have come about since the original ordinance was adopted in 2000 and 2010. Comments, questions, and discussion will be open for all interested. For login information, see the Alpine Downtown Association Facebook page or call John T. Kennedy at 512-971-7171. Start with trust. Handling severe winter weather. By Heather Massey, Regional Director of the Better Business Bureau in the Permian Basin. Several regions across Texas are facing freezing temperatures and severe winter weather as a phenomenon sometimes referred to as a blue norther sweeps through the state. Some cities even anticipated the lowest temperatures seen in decades. Homeowners prepared to avoid the cold and stay indoors, but steps still need to be taken to prevent damage from the extreme weather conditions. The cold snap posed a variety of problems: freeze injury to lawns and gardens, wear and tear from overuse on HVAC systems, hail damage to cars or windows, and most commonly, burst pipes. Luckily, there are plenty of precautionary steps you can take when dealing with wintry weather. When frozen, pipes can burst and cause flooding within your home. Easy ways to prevent pipes from freezing is to keep water moving through them by dripping your faucets and keeping your house heated to at least 65 degrees. You should also locate the main water shutoff in your home. In the event of a burst pipe, you will need to shut the water off to minimize water damage. If you are expecting hail, prevent damage by moving your car into a garage or using a car cover if you don't have covered parking available, and shuttering your windows. Texans unfamiliar with cold weather can also expect their furnaces to run constantly, so remember to give your HVAC a break occasionally to prevent overuse. If you are dealing with property damage due to the severe weather, you'll want to contact your insurance company to discuss what is covered by your policy. You may also decide to hire landscapers, contractors, or auto repair professionals to help repair any damage you accumulate during the cold snap. When searching for trustworthy professionals, use these tips from your Better Business Bureau. Find reputable professionals. Visit BBB.org to find trustworthy professionals in your area and read customer reviews on their business profile. You can also reach out to friends and family for recommendations or contact your insurance provider for a list of preferred vendors. Check licensing. Contractors and landscapers may need licenses to provide specific services, such as plumbing work or pesticide application. Go to the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation at tdlr.texas.gov to verify the professionals you hire have the proper licensing. Watch for storm chasers. In areas with extreme damage, contractors referred to as storm chasers may go door to door offering their services. They often pressure you into hiring them and rarely complete projects after taking payment. Avoid working with someone who comes to your door and resist high pressure sales tactics. For more tips on handling severe weather, visit us at BBB.org.
Hello. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Sunday, February 21st, 2021. Opinion. Texas View. Power outage is unacceptable. Lawmakers need to act. The point, could this have been avoided? Better answers are needed. With more than 4 million residents suffering hours without power in the midst of a historic cold snap and pandemic, Texans deserve to know what went wrong and why. So on Tuesday, as public outrage cascaded across the state, Governor Greg Abbott wisely added an investigation into the power outage and reform of the grid operator to his list of emergency items for this legislature to tackle. The simple answer is the cold snap created a massive demand for electricity that exceeded the ability of power plants to generate it. Wind turbines froze, and weather-related shutdowns of a nuclear plant in South Texas and similar disruptions to natural gas-powered electricity plants left Texans huddling at home with thermostats turned down to avert a larger and more dangerous power shutdown statewide. But we want a better answer. Namely, could this have been avoided? And at what cost? Should the existing power grid and generation network be made more resilient to accommodate weather extremes? Something lawmakers advocated after freezing weather crippled the power generators in 2011. Only an honest investigation will get at the truth, and only compliance with the findings will prevent a replay. Originally, Abbott tweeted that the electricity grid had not been compromised and suggested the extreme weather alone was to blame. Later, Abbott attributed the massive outages to power companies falling short in their obligation and expanded his criticism to the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, the operator of Texas power grid, calling it anything but reliable. It is not as though Texas hasn't been through this before. In the early days of February 2011, many homes and businesses lost power from 20 minutes to over 8 hours. Immediately, fingers of blame pointed to power companies, alleged market manipulation, and faulty ERCOT energy management. In a television interview Tuesday, ERCOT Chief Executive Officer Bill Magnus said 70 to 80 generating units out of about 680 statewide are not working, idling about 45,000 megawatts, which he called a high number. He also said improvement in the weather and restoration of power units would determine the duration of the crisis. He said power plants had made winterization improvements in the past decade, but in light of this crisis, suggested that officials need to have a conversation about incentives and winterization practices needed to keep power flowing. Texas' vibrant, competitive power market must be reliable and affordable. The state is growing, attracting new residents and corporations, many of them from California, a state that has a long history of power blackouts. It will be hard to make a competitive argument for relocations if we don't deal with the weaknesses in the state's power network. We've been warned before. Maybe this time we'll listen. The Dallas Morning News.
Obituaries for Sunday, February 21st. Lewis Clayton Heron. Lewis Clayton Heron was born January 10th, 1933, and passed away February 18th. He was born in Gorman County at home, the fourth child of seven, to Christopher and Effie Heron. He married his wife Wanda in 1952. Lewis is survived by his wife Wanda Jean Vernon Heron of San Angelo, three daughters, Connie and husband Randy Gill of San Angelo, Marcia and husband Chris of Midland, and predeceased by Cheryl Cheaton Anderson. He's also survived by four grandchildren, three step-grandchildren, and many great-grandchildren and step-great-grandchildren. Arrangements are by McNett Funeral Home of Andrews. Juan Lasoya. Juan Manuel Lasoya, 70, of Odessa, passed away February 15th at Medical Center Hospital. He was born in Big Spring to Domingo and Sarah Lasoya, January 19th, 1951. He married Petra Garza in 1972 in La Mesa. He is survived by his wife, Petra, son Johnny and wife Kendra Lasoya, and daughter Leslie Dominguez and husband Jeremy, two grandchildren, his siblings Ventura Gonzalez, Bill Lasoya, Vicky Lasoya, Arnold Lasoya, Martha Acosta, Utemio Timmy Lasoya, and Catalina Daniels. Rosary and visitation will be held at 6 p.m. Monday, February 22nd, and Tuesday, February 23rd at Willowbrook Funeral Home Chapel in Midland. A funeral mass will be held at 1 p.m. Wednesday, February 24th at San Miguel Archangel Catholic Church in Midland with Father Patrick Akpanobong and Father Frank Chavez officiating. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens in Odessa. Arrangements are entrusted to Willowbrook Funeral Home and Cremation Services of Midland. To place online condolences, please visit www.willowbrook.com. Bobby Kenneth Walker. Robert Lee. Bobby Kenneth Walker was born June 30th, 1935, in Rising Star to Curtis and Lula Walker. He was the oldest of four children. He married Veda Joyce King in 1956 in Edith. Bobby is preceded in death by his parents, Curtis and Lula Walker, a sister, Wanda Calder. He is survived by his wife of 64 years, Veda Joyce King Walker, two sons, Dave and wife Donna Walker of Odessa and Rex and wife Gwen Walker of Sherman, three granddaughters, six great-grandchildren, two brothers, Donald and Janice Walker of San Angelo and Curtis Wayne and Anise Walker of Robert Lee, and many nieces and nephews. Services will be held Monday, February 22nd at 2 p.m. at Pecan Baptist Church, west of Robert Lee, with visitation Sunday at Shaver's Funeral Home in Robert Lee from 3 to 5 p.m. In lieu of flowers, donations can be made to Paint Creek Cemetery Fund, Blake Box, 630 FM 2059, Robert Lee, 76945. Hugh Haley Marble. Hugh Haley Marble, 93, of Odessa, passed away Sunday, February 14th. He was born December 27th, 1927, in Utica, Hinds County, Mississippi, to the late Fred Jackson Marble and Mary Hood Strong. He married Shirley Joyce Bayer in 1953 in Lovington, New Mexico, and they settled in Odessa. Haley then married Rachel Lorania Grady in 2001 in Odessa. He is survived by his wife, Rachel, of Odessa, sons Barry Ron Marble of Perry, Utah, Gary Lon Marble of Cyprus, and Haley Craig Marble of Donnellan, Florida, a daughter, Greta Joyce Marble Grubbs of Santan Valley, Arizona, and a sister, Carmen Ursel Marble Lewis of Terry, Mississippi. He's preceded in death by his parents, Frank Jackson and Mary Hood Strong Marble of Crystal Springs, Mississippi, his first wife of 48 years, Shirley Joyce Bayer Marble, brothers Leo Earl Dampier, George Edward, Willie Fred, Heber J., and sisters Mary Louise Marble Kimball and Nellie Mae Marble Markle, and one grandson-in-law. Graveside services will be held at 1 p.m. Monday, February 22nd at Rose Hill Gardens section of Ector County Cemetery. Bishop Matthew Ornsby is officiating, and Acres West Funeral Chapel is entrusted with the arrangements. Arnold A. Nielsen. Arnold A. Nielsen, 85, of Odessa, passed away February 15th. There will be no funeral service. According to his wishes, he will be cremated. Arnold was born November 20th, 1935, to Arthur and Bertha Nielsen in Paget, Bermuda. He married Beryl Whitaker in December 1961 in Brackley, England. Arnold is preceded in death by his parents, Arthur and Bertha Nielsen, a sister, Catherine Turner, and a brother, Bernie Nielsen. He is survived by his wife, Beryl, his son, Austin Nielsen, brother and sister-in-law, James and Marina Ripley, and numerous nieces and nephews. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send family condolences, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Barbara Ann Patton. Barbara Ann Patton passed away February 1st at the age of 71. She was born December 31st, 1949, in Sweetwater. She was the oldest of four. She was preceded in death by her grandmother, Nona Lee Earp of Oklahoma, her mother, Betty Jane Patton McCabe of Ruidoso, New Mexico, and James Jim Kenneth Patton of Odessa, also a nephew. Barbara is survived by her three younger brothers, James Kenneth Ken Patton and his wife, Teresa of Amarillo, Jeremiah Melton Mel Patton and his life partner, Mimi Fine, and Gary Van Patton and his wife, Karen of Ruidoso, New Mexico. She is also survived by nephews, Adam Patton and Bonner Van Patton. She is also survived by her only child, daughter Dorley Ann Harris of San Angelo, and four grandchildren. Services will be held at Schaefer Pioneer Funeral Home in Grape Creek, Tuesday, February 23rd at 10:30 a.m., with Pastor David Taylor officiating. Mary Alice Chambliss Shepherd. Mary Shepherd passed away recently and was preceded in death by her mother, Virgie Jeanette Midkiff Chambliss, her father, Seth Alexander Chambliss, brother, Roy Lex Chambliss, and daughter, Mitzi Lee Shepherd. She is survived by her husband of 65 years, Charles Royce Shepherd, and a daughter, Nikki Lynn Shepherd. She's also survived by her sister, Teresa Jeanette Chambliss McCanleys, and many Midkiff cousins, in-laws, other family members. The family will receive friends Monday, February 22nd at Schaefer Nickel Funeral Home in Crane from 5 to 7 p.m. Funeral services will be held at 2 p.m. Burial will follow in the Crane County Cemetery. Arrangements are under the care and direction of Schaefer Nichols Funeral Home. Gary Lynn Speed. Gary Lynn Speed, 57, of Odessa, passed away February 10th after a battle with Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. He is survived by his wife, Barbie Beth Speed, daughter, Chrislyn Bramwell, and husband, Zane, stepdaughter, Taylor Renee Brake, and husband, Mark, stepson, Cole Robinson, and six grandchildren. He is also survived by his mother, Letty Jean Speed, brother, Mike Speed, and wife, Lisa, sister, Gina Wright, and husband, Jerry, an uncle, nephew, and several nieces, father and mother-in-law, Jerry and Ricky Lane, and a sister-in-law and brother-in-law, Laura and Barry Swift. He was preceded in death by his father, Gerald Wayne Speed, and son, Jarrett Perkins. Gary was born in Kermit, August 16, 1963, to Gerald and Letty Jean Speed. Gary married his wife, Barbie, in 2017 in Granbury. Visitation will be held at Stonegate Fellowship in Odessa, Monday, February 22nd, from 5 to 7 p.m. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. Tuesday, February 23rd at Stonegate Fellowship, Odessa. A private burial will follow the service at Sunset Memorial Gardens. In lieu of flowers, the family prefers donations be made in Gary's honor to Hospice of Midland, Odessa, hospiceofodessa.org, or the CJD Foundation, cjdfoundation.org. Death notices. Daryl Wayne Fulton. Daryl Wayne Fulton, 63, of Odessa, died Wednesday, February 10th. A chapel service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Monday, February 22nd at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Burial will be privately held at the Fulton Family Cemetery. Reverend Jimmy Braswell officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Leopoldo Contreras Rincon. Leopoldo Contreras Rincon, 73, of Odessa, died Friday, February 12th. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. Monday, February 22nd at St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa. Two arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Isabel Duran Fernandez. Isabel Duran Fernandez, 81, of Odessa, died Wednesday, February 10th. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Tuesday, February 23rd at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Interment will follow at Odessa Two Gardens section of Ector County Cemetery with Father Fernando Bonilla officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Peter Cavanis Anderson. Peter Cavanis Anderson, 91, of Odessa, died Friday, February 12th. A memorial service is scheduled for 11 a.m. Saturday, March 6th at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Harvey Glenn Kiefer. Harvey Glenn Kiefer, 63, of Odessa, died Saturday, February 13th. A celebration of life will be held at 10 a.m. Monday, February 22nd at Tanglewood Baptist Church. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Fabian Zuniga Reyna. Fabian Zuniga Reyna, 14, died Tuesday, February 16th. Services are pending with Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Janet Aline Renault Studeville. Janet Aline Renault Studeville, 65, of Odessa, died Friday, February 12th. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, February 22nd. Abbott says power is almost fully restored. Statewide and grocery stores will soon be restocked. The story was written by Cassandra Pollock of the Texas Tribune. Governor Greg Abbott on Sunday said power should be fully restored across the state and that grocery stores will be restocked for Texans in the wake of a massive winter storm that left many without power for days. Abbott, speaking in San Antonio while flanked by other state and local leaders, said roughly 13,000 Texans still did not have power due to issues with local power providers. At its height, more than 4.5 million customers were without electricity. He said power should be fully restored across the state Sunday night or Monday. Abbott also said food supply shortages at grocery stores would soon be resolved, now that road conditions are safe for deliveries. Abbott said he suspended state regulations to get more delivery trucks on roads to help deliver food and supplies at a faster rate. Quote, "There are so many Texans, too many Texans, that have gone hungry over the past few days," he said. Abbott also said he had also suspended regulations to allow kitchens to prepare more meals as long as they followed Texas Department of State Health Services guidelines on food safety. "One issue still facing the state," Abbott said, "is water quality, as millions of people are still under boil notices or do not have access to running water." Toby Baker, executive director of the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, said nearly 15 million residents were on a boil water notice 48 hours ago, and that since then, about 5 million Texans had come off of such notices. Officials in the city of Houston, for example, announced Sunday afternoon that the city's tap water was safe again to use for drinking, cooking, and making ice. Houston's boil notice had been in place since Wednesday. During the news conference, Abbott also said he and other leaders were working overtime to address steep electricity bills that some Texans had received. On Sunday, the Public Utility Commission held an emergency meeting to restrict electricity providers from sending customer invoices for the time being, a move aimed at giving the entity more time to address the spike in some bills. The commission also issued a moratorium on customer disconnections for non-payment. Abuse and neglect with pandemics. The story was written by Carol A. Cates, Chief Nursing Officer, Odessa Regional Medical Center. "One of the things I have been seeing in the healthcare literature lately is the concerns that with all the lockdowns, virtual schools, and other isolating circumstances related to the pandemic, the violence that we see far too often in our society, things like child abuse, elder abuse, and human trafficking are not being reported as they normally are, and because of that, the abuses are not being caught until often it is too late. We talk a great deal about the damage that COVID-19 does in and of itself, the deaths, the severe illness, the toll on healthcare workers and affected families. We even talk about collateral damage to an extent with the economy and the layers of devastation that it has caused. But one thing I don't think we talk about enough is how disasters increase abuse and neglect. We don't talk about how with the stress and isolation of the pandemic, there aren't many second chances to intervene with victims of abuse before a life is lost or destroyed. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, between March of 2020 and September of 2020, child abuse reporting decreased by 20% to 70%, depending on the state, compared with 2019 reporting statistics. In that same time frame, hospitalizations related to child abuse increased from 2.1% of the total number of emergency department visits to 3.2% of overall emergency department visits. That increase leads experts to the conclusion that overall abuse has increased rather than decreased, It is just not being reported until it is severe enough that hospitalization is needed. The experts believe this is because kids are not being seen frequently by teachers, social workers, health care providers, and other professionals that have mandatory reporting requirements. Some of those increases could be related to changing patterns in seeking medical care, again related to the pandemic, but the vast majority of the issue is lack of contact with professionals who are trained to spot signs of abuse and are required to report their concerns to state and/or local authorities. The same concerns are also being experienced with elder abuse. The stress and isolation of the pandemic has resulted in an increase in abuse that is vastly underreported. To add to that problem, the pandemic is being used by unscrupulous people to prey on the elderly as well. There have been reports of threats to hand over Social Security checks, or they will get purposely exposed to COVID, or threats of COVID as a reason for people to stay in harmful situations. Human trafficking, another avenue of abuse and violence, also thrives in the isolation of disasters and pandemics. The United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime states they have grave concerns that COVID-19 has made identifying victims of human trafficking more difficult because of less frequent contact with victims related to lockdowns and social distancing, as well as more movement control tactics by the perpetrators in order to avoid detection with quarantines, lockdowns, and increased border restrictions. The ways all of us can help is when we are out and about to keep our eyes open for signs of abuse. Texas Protects asks adults in their interactions with children to pay attention if a child tells you in a call or in writing that they are being abused or someone in their home is being abused. If they are frightened of an adult, if they are experiencing suicidal thoughts, if young children are left alone or are in charge of other siblings with no adults present for long periods of time, or young children talk about sex with more knowledge than is normal for their age. Also, pay attention to unexplained bruises or marks, harsh physical discipline, or dangerous objects like unsecured firearms. With elder abuse, the signs are very similar. You may see financial irregularities with elder abuse as well. Human trafficking victims also have similar signs of abuse, as well as avoidance of social interaction or authority figures. Their responses often seem scripted, and they seem destitute. You can get more information on all of these issues, as well as report any concerns about someone being abused, to the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services at https://www.dfps.state.tx.us, or you can call the Texas Abuse Neglect Hotline at 1-800-252-5400. COVID-19 News by the Numbers. Ector County numbers are not updated daily. U.S. cases, 27,882,557 total confirmed cases, and 496,112 deaths. Find out more online at dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. COVID-19 vaccines. Medical Center Hospital will be administering the first dose of Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine at the drive-thru clinic at Ratliff Stadium, South Main entrance. The clinics have been scheduled from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Thursday and Sunday. The clinic is now open for 1C community members. Those who are at risk, ages 65 and older, and other essential workers, people who work in transportation and logistics, food service, housing construction and finance, information technology, communications, energy, law, media, public safety, and public health. Online registration requested for quicker on-site processing. For those that are not able to register online, will be rerouted to a waiting area to register before vaccination. Wear short-sleeve clothing easy to access arm. Bring a valid driver's license or other photo ID. To pre-register or for more information, visit mchodessa.com. For those looking for a way to help, email volunteers@odessa-tx.gov. For anyone who can't make the first shot drive-through, those shots will be given through Odessa Regional Medical Center. MCH will be administering booster or second doses shots of the Pfizer vaccines. A booster shot drive-through clinic will take place from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. March 2nd through 5th at Ratliff Stadium. This drive-through is only for the remaining people who got their first shot at Ratliff. Pre-registration is not required. Bring your vaccination card or an ID card. For anyone who can't make the booster clinic and or anyone getting the first shot, including first shot drive-through, those shots will be given through Odessa Regional Medical Center. Odessa Regional Medical Center at 520 East 6th Street is expecting COVID-19 vaccines soon. The vaccine is free of charge while supplies last. Please check on vaccine availability. For more information, call 432-582-8549 or visit tinyurl.com/Y3JQHZ89. Walgreens has limited COVID-19 vaccines available in select areas. For eligibility requirements or more information, visit tinyurl.com/YHR-6NEUD. HEB Pharmacies is prepared to receive new allotments of COVID-19 vaccine at any time from the state of Texas. Once they have vaccine, eligible customers can sign up using the scheduler to receive a COVID-19 vaccine. To sign up, updates, or information, visit vaccine.heb.com. The CVS stores are administering the COVID-19 vaccine by appointment only in select stores based on local eligibility guidelines. For updates or information, visit cvs.com, CVS Pharmacy app, or call 800-746-7287. Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies are administering the COVID-19 vaccine based on state and federal eligibility guidelines in select areas. For updates, visit www.walmart.com or www.samsclub.com/pharmacy.
Hello, this is Michael reading the inside stories of the Odessa American for Monday, February 22nd. Sparklight extends relief to Texas communities. As nonprofit organizations work to provide food and shelter for Texas residents impacted by Winter Storm Uri, Sparklight, part of the Cable One family of brands, has donated $15,000 along with food and supplies to support relief efforts in the markets it serves. In Odessa, $3,000 has been donated to the local Salvation Army, which is serving as a warming shelter for residents. Our hearts are with the Texas residents who have been impacted by this winter storm, Julia Lawrence, president and CEO, said. After ensuring our associates and their families are safe, our primary focus will be on restoring service to our customers as quickly as possible following the restoration of local power. We understand how critical connectivity is in times like these, and we are committed to keeping our customers and communities connected. Commercial power outages and damage from snow and ice may be affecting service for some Sparklight customers. While the company has backup generators supporting numerous impacted areas, some areas remain inaccessible due to storm debris, downed power lines, and icy road conditions. The company will follow local power companies in order to restore service as quickly and as safely as conditions allow. Officer involved crash turned over to DPS. The investigation of an officer-involved crash has been turned over to the Texas Department of Public Safety. An Odessa Police Department news release said at about 12:55 a.m. Sunday, a crash occurred at Maple and Grandview Avenues. Investigation revealed that an OPD officer struck a GMC Envoy occupied by four people, the release said. Two adults were transported to a local hospital with serious bodily injury, and two juveniles were transported to a local hospital with minor injuries. There were no reports of any other injuries. The release did not provide any names. Odessa American Death Notices, published Monday, February 22, 2021. James Walter Owen Jr. Odessa. James Walter Owen Jr., 67, of Odessa, died Wednesday, February 17th in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 2 p.m. February 23rd at American Heritage Funeral Home. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Sammy Ramirez, Odessa. Sammy Ramirez, 54, of Odessa, died Tuesday, February 14th in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 11 a.m. Tuesday, February 23rd at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Last Supper, Father Mark Woodruff is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Fabian Zuniga Reyna, Odessa. Fabian Zuniga Reyna, 14, of Odessa, died Tuesday, February 16th in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Thursday, February 25th at Acres West 24-Hour Chapel. Interment follows at Odessa 2 Gardens of Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Martin Marez Vargas, Odessa. Martin Marez Vargas, 74, of Odessa, died Thursday, February 4th in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. Tuesday, February 23rd at St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Which COVID-19 vaccine is better? Dear Dr. Roach, I have a question about the coronavirus vaccines. My mother is 79 and has allergies. I have PBC, an autoimmune disease. Which type of coronavirus is better for each of us? RZ. Answer. Most autoimmune diseases, such as primary biliary cirrhosis, where the immune system attacks bile ducts, or autoimmune thyroid disease, which many people write me about, won't keep you from getting vaccinated. There is controversy about some autoimmune diseases, such as multiple sclerosis. Here, there is a theoretical risk that the increase in immune system activity due to the vaccine could trigger a worsening of the autoimmune condition. This appears to be rare, while the benefit from the vaccination is large and proven. In the current coronavirus pandemic, the vaccines do not have any long-term safety data. However, given the choice between a risk that is at best possible but unlikely, and a benefit that is large not only for the person getting the vaccine, but their family and close contacts as well, my opinion is that the vaccine has far more benefits than risk and should be given. Of course, you need to consult your own physician to be sure.
Treasured wedding arch is trashed by callous relatives. Dear Abby, for Monday, February 22nd, 2021. Dear Abby, my daughter got married in a friend's backyard 3 months ago. Her husband built an arch for the ceremony. He spent $285 on some very nice walnut, and they planned to keep it forever. With my daughter's consent, my wife loaned it to a niece of hers. The arch was broken and thrown out. We found this out only after weeks of requesting that we get it back. They have offered to pay the $285, but without even a sorry. My daughter is extremely angry at my wife and the niece and her husband. I need words to console my wife and daughter. This has caused a deep emotional schism in our family. Wedding Mess in Arizona. Dear Mess, it is time to talk to your daughter about priorities. Because of her deep emotional attachment to the arch her now husband created for their wedding, her anger and hurt are justifiable. That the niece and her husband not only damaged it, but threw it away like a piece of garbage was terrible. That they not only didn't apologize, but also failed to recognize the sentimental value of the arch is shocking. At least they offered to reimburse the cost of the wood. However, for your daughter to blame your wife for the niece's carelessness is wrong. It takes strength of character to forgive. This does not mean your daughter must forget what happened and how poorly it was handled. In the uncertain times we are experiencing, relationships and family unity are primary. I hope that, with time, your daughter and her husband will realize this and repair the rift while recognizing the niece's shortcomings in the future. Neither a borrower nor a lender be. Dear Abby, at the end of last year, I sat down with my parents, hoping that maybe we could approach the new year with a fresh start. One short month into the new year, my mother is back at it again, ridiculing me and making me feel like no matter what I do, it will never be good enough for her. I have reached the end of my rope. I'm tired of dealing with the constant cycle of emotional abuse. I have overcome much in my life, and I'm proud of myself for it. During times when I struggle, I reflect on how much. I keep pushing myself forward, but at this point, I'm just tired. I have considered distancing myself, but the recent loss of my grandfather hit me hard. I have been leaning on my family to keep myself going, so I'm in a pickle. Hurt, stunned, and tired in New York. Dear HST, you may never be able to have what you want from your mother, not because there is something wrong with you, but because she has proven herself incapable of being supportive. For understanding and the emotional support you are seeking, consider contacting your clergy person, if you have one, or the officiant at your grandfather's funeral and asking about joining a grief support group. If you do, you may find the support you need while at the same time keeping safely at a distance from your mother. Horoscopes. Happy birthday for Monday, February 22nd, 2021. Unselfish, idealistic, and dedicated, you turn your spotlight out on the world, illuminating worthy goals. This year, an angel helps you turn a dream into a reality, and you're very successful. Magnetic, you attract followers. If single, don't be so overcritical. You lose a love interest this way. The very end of next year, you meet the one. If attached, you're tight and as happy as clams. Taurus hangs in there. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5, dynamic. 4, positive. 3, average. 2, so-so. 1, difficult. Aries, March 21st through April 19th, 3 stars. Today brings changes at work. You will plan leisure or vacation activities, but should fulfill responsibilities related to home and family life first. Loyalty and what it really means to you is an issue. Tonight, your career path starts to take a new direction. Taurus, April 20th through May 20th, 5 stars. You have a deeper understanding of the psyche of a sibling. Keep relations with neighbors peaceful. An organized schedule helps you relieve stress. This is an active day with many projects in progress. Tonight, you are learning a great deal in regard to life experience. Gemini, May 21st through June 20th, 4 stars. Today emphasizes appreciation of possessions. You add to a collection or find a treasure. If you need a new garment or piece of jewelry, you can locate the perfect item now. Browsing online is an appealing pastime. Tonight, serious talk with a family member. Cancer, June 21st through July 22nd, 5 stars. Your charm carries you a long way today. The pleasant impression you're projecting opens doors to preferments you've long deserved. An old friend puts in a kind word. You can combine friendly interaction with business matters. Tonight, your kind of night. Leo, July 23rd through August 22nd, 2 stars. Today makes you sympathetic and helpful, but also more emotional than usual. You'll put changes on hold and recognize a temporary need for conformity. Get extra rest and be patient with yourself. Tonight, old memories are strong. Try some journaling. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd, 5 stars. Today is the start of a tremendous growth and opportunity cycle. Your standard of living is about to improve. Be alert to opportunities for promotion. Believe in yourself and try new projects. Tonight, breaking counterproductive old habits from the past. Libra, September 23rd through October 22nd, 4 stars. Today places your professional reputation under scrutiny. Be absolutely sure of details. Take a moment to verify and check the facts. Little annoyances clear up magically and you enjoy a productive time. Tonight, a new and very important career contact is made. Scorpio, October 23rd through November 21st, 5 stars. You'll be inventive, communicate well, and can initiate improvements at work. Your willingness to experiment impresses the right people. Specific potentials come to light. Share scientific and metaphysical concepts. Tonight, let friends know and celebrate a day well done. Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st, 5 stars. You will find ways to fulfill a cherished dream. Today allows you to show others your potential. Opportunities come. It's also a good time to make decisions about personal matters and health care. Tonight, delighting in artistic or spiritual growth. Capricorn, December 22nd through January 19th, 3 stars. There are tremendous opportunities and an avalanche of ideas and projects. You might feel overwhelmed. Try not to take on too much. You realize that everyone needs a great deal from you. Tonight, avoid a partner who has been a disappointment in the past. Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th, 3 stars. Accept what you feel is inevitable. Resist the temptation to complain about routine chores and count your blessings. Health and fitness are a focus. Don't postpone a dentist appointment if it's needed. Tonight, look at competitors as motivating influences to inspire you. Pisces, February 19th through March 20th, 3 stars. You'll enjoy gambles and intriguing risks. Adventurous leisure activities have appeal. Regarding love, you'll seek a situation that is thrilling rather than safe and secure. Business takes a back seat to social and creative interests. Tonight, Too Much Time Online.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.